Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Late last night, actually, around 12:30 early this morning, if you happened to be in front of your TV or listening to the radio, you might have witnessed this.
Koji peers over the glove. He rocks on a 2-2. Swing and a miss. He struck him out.
And the Boston Red Sox are moving on.
Moving on. That's right. Koji Uehara struck out Evan Longoria, and the Red Sox beat the Tampa Bay Rays 3-1 early this morning, as Sasha said, and they'll move on to the American League Championship Series against either the Oakland A's or the Detroit Tigers, who play their final game tomorrow. So joining us to talk about the big series ahead in the week in sports is Only a Game's Bill Littlefield. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Anthony.
So exciting game last night?
Yeah, as long as you could stay up long enough to see the end of it, I think it was. Of course it was an exciting game.
So here's the thing. Great pitching from Jake Peavy. Craig Breslow, unbelievable. And of course, Uehara, who gave up that heartbreaking walk-off homer Monday night, was back in form last night. What stood out to you?
Well, I think what stands out to anybody watching the Red Sox this year is the various ways in which they can win baseball games. They hit home runs when they need to hit home runs. They get very good pitching on the occasions when they don't score very many runs. And then, of course, we're reminded in this series with Tampa Bay that they can run the bases a little bit,
boy,
too.
Can they ever.
And this is not historically a Red Sox strength.
No, it's true. They've got a lot of speed. And that's exactly what I was struck by last night. I mean, the first two games, they wallop the Tampa Bay Rays with all kinds of runs. And last night, it was like small ball, passed ball, stolen bases, running, not high scoring.
Mm-hmm.
They're really fun to watch this year.
They have been fun to watch. I agree. You must be in seventh heaven as a Red Sox fan of long standing.
Bill, so as you know, I'm always objective when I sit in this chair. But speaking of objectivity, so now they have the luxury of coming home, resting, and awaiting the winner of the Oakland-Detroit series. You always say you root for the story. So which matchup is the better story?
Well, I think in one sense it would be fun to see them play Oakland, because Oakland is, of course, the small market team that has to do it with a small payroll. And like it or not, the Red Sox are a have rather than a have-not. They got an enormous payroll, and that's why they've been able to stockpile such good players. So that's a good story. I'll root for that one.
How about Detroit, though? Poor old Motor City needs a break.
Yeah, although the poor old Motor City has not been without breaks over the years. You know, they've had some pretty good football teams and basketball teams and baseball teams, and they're not quite as sad sack as one might think.
All right, well, that series against whichever team it is starts this Saturday.
And Bill, as much as I hate to transition us away from the joy of the Red Sox advancing, I want to talk about something far more heavy. And that's that, first of all, if there were any night the NFL may have wished that baseball would have higher TV ratings than football, it was last night. Because last night is when Frontline aired this documentary called League of Denial, the NFL's Concussion Crisis. Bill, you've seen this already?
Yes, I did see it last night, and I had read the book upon which the documentary is based, or I should say the book written by the same two reporters who were responsible for the documentary.
And this is obviously an issue that you have covered quite a bit.
Yeah, for about the last 10 years.
In this documentary, so much of the evidence, very damning evidence, came from the players themselves. You know, it focused heavily on Mike Webster, this player whose nickname was Iron. He was a former offensive lineman for the Steelers. He died at age 50. His brain autopsy was one of the first to reveal the damage that football could cause. And we heard from his family talking about how he transformed in a bad way after he retired. His son told the story of how his dad was once asked by someone on the street if he was Mike Webster, and he replied, "I used to be."
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's Webster in a TV interview during his decline.
No, I'm just trying to find... Yeah, well, trauma, everybody went through trauma as a kid. I'm not saying I was different than that. I'm just saying... Hell, I don't know what I'm saying. I'm just tired and confused right now. That's why I say it. I can't really, I can't say it the way I want to say it. I could answer this real easy at other times, but right now I'm just tired.
Bill, what did you think of this documentary?
Well, the documentary is powerful for reasons obvious from that little bit of it. You're seeing the results of brain damage sustained over many years by people who played in the NFL for many years, and that first-person sort of evidence is very compelling. The book, for me, was even more compelling because it's so complete. It's an indictment of the NFL's hypocrisy over two decades.
And what does the NFL say about this movie?
Well, the NFL would not cooperate with the people making the movie or with the people writing the book or with us in connection with a story that we're going to run this weekend. They sent us a statement, and the statement begins, "For more than two decades, the NFL has been a leader in addressing the issue of head injuries in a serious way." This is not true. The NFL denied that there was any connection between head injuries sustained in football and subsequent dementia, suicide, depression, all the things that have been connected with these players. And in fact, the first head of the committee, which was studying head injuries allegedly in the NFL, was a rheumatologist rather than a neurologist. And the second head of the committee spent almost all of his tenure denying there was any connection between playing football and head injuries. So they were not in the forefront of addressing the issue of head injuries at all. In fact, their business was denying that the head injuries occurred. First of all, they said, oh, there's about one concussion every three or four games. That was their party line. And then secondly, trying to discredit the actual research that was being done by doctors in the field.
And Bill, in the documentary, the NFL is portrayed as having tried to discredit the work of the doctor that did Mike Webster's autopsy. This doctor was Bennett Omalu, and here he is recounting a meeting he finally had with the NFL.
And the NFL doctor at some point said to me, "Bennett, do you know the implications of what you're doing?" He said, "If 10% of mothers in this country would begin to perceive football as a dangerous sport, that is the end of football."
Bill, do you expect at this point in your coverage of this issue that there will be any long-term effect of this documentary or a change in NFL culture?
I can't imagine that there would be a long-term change in NFL culture because the game is what it is. It's a violent game in which people crashing into each other is an intrinsic part. It remains to be seen whether the book, League of Denial, or the documentary have a big effect on, I hope, the many, many, many people who will read the book and watch the documentary.
So obviously very heavy topic, and Bill will wait and see if there's change.
That's what we'll do.
Bill, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.
That's Bill Littlefield. He's host of Only a Game, which you can hear right here on WBUR, Saturdays at 7 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. Bill, thanks.
Thanks, Anthony.